Let's pray. Father, we do count it a privilege to once again open your word and see and hear what you would have to say today. Father, I pray with the psalmist, as I read there in Psalm 119 this morning, give us understanding so that we can walk in your ways. Incline our hearts to your testimonies. Turn our eyes from looking at worthless things to see the way of your commandments. We need this as a church. We need this as your children and as a church. We need this for every facet of our lives. And for right now specifically, we are asking it in you showing us your will for us as your church. We pray that in this series, Father, you will open the truths of your scriptures regarding what you have planned for the church and what you have planned for every church within the church. We pray for you to make known to us what it means to be a biblical church. A church that is truly centered on you. A church that is truly taking its identity from you. Its mission from you. As it has its life from you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our life and our light. So now, in understanding that you are our light, our way to see in the darkness, we turn to your words in the word. It is in your name we pray now. Amen. We are looking at a biblical church, and in this series, we are continuing in the first section on the source of its existence. In the last message, we looked at the source of its existence being the mind of God, as God has planned the church for his own eternal purpose. We looked at that in Ephesians chapter 3 last time. Today we move on to look at the source of a biblical church's existence being the hand of Jesus. You know, it's a great feeling to craft something with your own hands, not merely to assemble something like a bookshelf off the shelf at Walmart, but to plan, to calculate, and craft something from scratch. I have been a carpenter for 20 years now, and several years ago I discovered that I also have a knack for metalworking, both fabricating and welding. And the fact, and working with wood and metal has given me a lot of satisfaction in seeing the products of my own mind and my own hands. And the fact is that some of the most satisfied people as far as in their jobs are craftsmen. Some of the most enjoyable hobbies you can take up are crafts of various kinds. There is much joy to be experienced in planning, putting together, shaping, seeing and using something you produced with your own mind and your own hands. God creatively produced us with the capacity to be creatively productive as part of being made by Him in His own image. In being created by Him, He wants us to create in honor of Him. We know that at the very, very beginning, when He put Adam in the Garden of Eden, He told him to do what with the garden? To work it and keep it. Creative, productive work has always been part of God's plan for the human race. It has always been part of His design for us. Work itself is not a part of the fall. What's part of the fall is the hard labor in working. It's earning our keep by the sweat of our brow. It's having to work a ground that has turned hard to us. That is part of the curse. But part of the original, perfect, wonderful creation was being creative and being productive. He has hardwired us for that. He has hardwired us to enjoy that. In being produced by Him, He wants us to produce and reproduce. He wants us to take personal stock in the work of our hands. He wants us to put ourselves into what we are doing. Paul even goes so far as to tell slaves in the book of Ephesians, which basically includes anybody working for somebody else, not slaves in our historical sense, with the travesties of our past as a nation. He's just talking about somebody working for somebody else. You could say employee to employer. Work as from the heart, not simply to be an eye pleaser. Work as from the heart, as for the Lord, not simply as for men. God wants us to put ourselves into our work. He wants us to take personal stock in the work of our hands as He Himself takes personal stock in the work of His hands. However, we can, and many do, take this too far. We can become proud in our self-willed assertion with what we are crafting and producing. We can take creative license and creative credit that is not ours to take. Many are doing this in their churches, within the church. Being a biblical church starts with humbly realizing that we did not come up with the church. That's why we started the way we did, on seeing the church first in the mind of God. We did not come up with the church. And we are not producing the church. So, we go from seeing the church as an eternal idea in the mind of God to seeing the church as an enduring work of the hands of Jesus. So that's the train of thought that we're on. Going from the mind of God to the hands of Jesus. As we look at a profound statement He makes in Matthew 16:18. So now let's read Matthew 16:13-18. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Later on, Lord willing, we will look at this passage in greater detail. We will be coming back here again. But today, we are focusing in on five words from Jesus. And those five words are this in verse 18. "I will build my church." In those five words about the church, we are going to look at Jesus' self-distinction as the builder, Jesus' sovereign determination to build, and Jesus' sole dominion over what He is building. So we start first with Jesus' self-distinction as the builder. "I will build my church." The building of the church is not a crew effort. You know, every construction company has to have what to get the work done? It has to have a crew. It has to have a team of guys that are good at their craft, varying from laborer to master carpenter, journeyman craftsman, all the way up to the foremans and the superintendents. There has to be a crew. And that crew has to work together to get the job done. It is not a Lone Ranger job. A building does not get built by one man. It gets built by many men. However, Jesus, when it comes to the church, is not the foreman of a church building crew because there is no crew. Not when it comes to building the church. There is only Jesus building the church. As we saw in the last message, what God planned for the church in His infinite mind for his own infinite purpose, his own eternal purpose, he has brought to pass in Jesus. And Jesus has brought God's plan for the church to pass as he is building the church. That's how it's playing out. What God has planned in his eternal, in his infinite mind, in his eternal purpose for the church, he has realized in Jesus Christ. And he has realized it in Jesus Christ as Jesus is now building the church. That's how it's working out. But wait, aren't we the ones working in the church? Aren't we the ones doing the work in the church? Saying with our mouths what gets said, doing with our hands what gets done, going with our feet where we get gone. Don't we form the groups? Don't we do the planning and doing of the works and building the buildings? Don't we do that? Would there be a church here if it was not for a group of people that came together, formed the group of this church, the congregation of this church, and built the building of this church? Well, here's the critical truth to wrap our minds around. We are not working in the church, we are working as the church. That's the difference. We are not working in the church, we are working as the church. If you take us away, there is no church. The church is not something outside of us being crafted and produced by us. The church is something made up of us being crafted and produced by Jesus. We do not apply ourselves to the church. We apply ourselves as the church. In all our working, we are simply working out what Jesus is working in. Remember what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. I know you know these verses well, where Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence," of course, he was speaking very personally there to the Philippians, but what he says next applies to all of us, "but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Why? "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So we're not working out our salvation as something we are producing from ourselves, out of ourselves. We are working out our own salvation because it is God who is first working in us, both the willing and the working. We are working out what He is working in. We are taking out what He is putting in. You see how it works? And it works that way with the church, with us as the church. So in all our planning, doing, forming, and building, we are planning as that which has already been planned. We are doing as that which is now being done. We are forming as that which is now being formed. We are building as that which is now being built. All by Jesus. It's all the work of His hands. That brings us to Jesus' sovereign determination to build. "I will build my church." You and I can speak with only very little certainty about anything we set out to accomplish. Remember what James says in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, about boasting about tomorrow. "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" We don't even know what for certain what the next minute is going to bring. much less what the next day is going to bring. So, we can speak with only very little certainty about anything we are setting out to do. Jesus, however, can speak with absolute certainty about everything he sets out to do. That's the difference between us and him. He speaks with the absolute certainty of the absolute sovereignty of God. Do you remember when Nebuchadnezzar was walking around on his rooftop and he was admiring his kingdom? And he said to himself, "Look at everything my hands have built." In his pomp and his pride. And it says, and the words were no sooner out of his mouth, that proud, vain expression no sooner came out of his heart and through his lips than a voice spoke from heaven and said, "Yes, and your kingdom is now removed from you. And I will cast you into the pasture like a wild animal for 7 years, and you will eat grass on your face until you learn this lesson. I am God, I am sovereign, and I give kingdoms to whom I will. I give authority to whom I will give it." Well, at the end of that time, it says Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses and he looked up to heaven and he realized who God really is. These are his words in Daniel 4:35. "All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" I think he learned his lesson. Isaiah 14:27, "For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" Isaiah 43:13, God himself speaking, "Also henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back?" Jesus speaks with that absolute certainty in his absolute sovereignty. With no one able to stay his hand and turn it back, Jesus says with absolute sovereign determination, "I will build my church." That brings us to Jesus' sole dominion over what he is building. I will build what? My church. I will build my church. Not a church, not the church, my church. Jesus is building what he alone owns. The church is his church. We are his church. We are not our own. Why? For we were bought with a price, as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. We were ransomed from our former futile ways, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 1:18-19. So, as Paul says in Romans 14:7-8, "None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." We belong to him. We are the Lord's spiritual house, 1 Peter 2:4-5. "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men," listen for the language of being built, "but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens." This is going on into Ephesians 2:19-22. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We are the Lord's spiritual house that he is building. We are also the Lord's body that he is building. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. God put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Colossians 2, 18 and 19. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, speaking of Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. Jesus has not contracted to build what someone else owns and will ultimately possess. 99% of the buildings a contractor will build belong to somebody else. They're working on somebody else's property. The vast majority of the work I've ever done as a carpenter has not been for myself and my family. It's been for somebody else. It's been on somebody else's property, on somebody else's belongings. Not so with Jesus. In building the church, he alone is building what he alone owns and will always eternally possess, which he occupies as an extension of himself. His spiritual house, his own body. I have been in churches with people who treated their churches like something they planned, like something they produced, like something they were preserving for their own purpose. They have disconnected their approach to being a church from the reality that from the mind of God, through the hands of Jesus, the church exists because he planned it. He is producing it, and he is preserving it for his own purpose. They've lost sight of that. They have lost their connection with that eternal reality. God is the architect, and Jesus alone is the builder of his own church. In seeking what it means to be a biblical church, we must see ourselves as the work of his hands. We must see the joy and have the joy of being a work of his hands, not our own. In being a biblical church, we must plan as that which he has planned. We must produce as that which he is producing. We must preserve what he is preserving, and his purpose must be our purpose. We must work out that which he is working in. We must build as he is building us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in these five simple, yet profound and powerful words, we see that you alone are the builder. You alone will sovereignly build. You alone own what you are building, your church. We know that we are your church. You are our head. We are your body. You are the Lord. We are your spiritual house. We belong to you as we are being built by you. Lord, I ask you to build us. I ask you to preserve us. You said right there in verse 18, the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. Death will not extinguish your church. The forces of hell, Satan and his demons, will not triumph over your church. But their sights are set on this church. And I pray you will turn them back. In the truth that no one can turn back your hand. When you work, the work is done, and no one can undo it. So work on us. Have your way with us. For your name's sake, for the great glory of the Father, for the fullness of our joy in you, both now and forevermore. In your name we pray. Amen.